One of the issues before our Dallas convention will be what action shall we take concerning the proposed new intersynodical Lutheran hymnal. As a member of our Synod's Commission on Worship and as a member of the Inter-Lutheran Commission on Worship Subcommittee on Liturgical Music, Dr. Fred L. Precht, whom we are about to interview, knows much about the hymnal. Currently Executive Director of the Foundation of the World Home Bible League, he has served in the past as Executive Director of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Foundation, and he comes from a background of service at Concordia Theological Seminary, Springfield, Illinois, as Professor of Worship and Hymnody, Choir Director, and Director of Development. We appreciate Dr. Precht telling us about the proposed hymnal, especially his forthright emphasis upon and expression of the high standards required in the examination of proposed liturgical and hymnic materials. At the same time, however, we remind listeners that he is not speaking as a representative of either seminary of our church body. Listeners are directed to Resolution 3-211A, Convention Workbook, page 129, entitled To Carry On a Comprehensive Review of Proposed ILCW Hymnal. This resolution, submitted by the faculty of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, reads as follows, beginning with its final whereas. Whereas, in a matter so grave and having so many far-reaching implications as the introduction of a new hymnal and new liturgies, the members of the Synod ought to be persuaded that they can, with a good conscience, endorse or support the new hymnal and liturgies as exhibiting in all respects the teachings of the Scriptures and the pure evangelical doctrine of the Lutheran confessions, and that the book will indeed edify the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, be it resolved that the final draft of the proposed ILCW hymnal and liturgies be submitted to the analysis of a representative body of pastors, theological professors, teachers, and laymen of the Synod, to be selected by the President and Vice Presidents of the Synod from a list of nominees provided by the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, who will report to the Synod before the next convention in July 1979 whether the ILCW proposed hymnal and liturgies do, in fact, fulfill the doctrinal and constitutional requirements of our Synod. We are happy to have you with us here this afternoon, Dr. Precht, to speak a bit about the topic of your lecture on the proposed new Lutheran intersynodical hymnal. And I suppose a good place to begin would be to ask the question, can you give us some of the historical background of this hymnal?
Yes. The Lutheran hymnal, our present hymnal, was published in 1941. It was the successor to the Evangelical Lutheran Hymn Book of 1911. Generally speaking, the life of a hymnal is anywhere from 25 to 40 years. In 1962 already, our Synod's Commission on Worship, taking its cue from various synodical overtures, demanding that the Synod broaden the scope of its liturgical and hymnological materials, began the process of revising our present Lutheran hymnal as its own project. But then the 1965 convention of the Synod in Detroit instructed the Synod's president, Dr. Oliver Harms, to invite the other Lutheran church bodies in America to work with the Missouri Synod in the production of common worship materials, both liturgical and hymnic. The following church bodies subsequently accepted the invitation. For instance, the American Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church in America, the Synod of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada, organized in 1967, which was formerly part of the ALC. In 1958, there appeared the service book and hymnal produced by the various Lutheran bodies now comprising the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church in America. We note that the recent date of this book did not prevent these bodies from accepting the invitation of the Missouri Synod. There then followed the organization of the Inter-Lutheran Commission on Worship, the ILCW. It was in the fall of 1966, after several pre-organizational meetings, that representatives of the ALC, LCA, SELC, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod officially organized this commission of worship, on worship, namely the ILCW. And this organization was given the mandate by the participating parent bodies to produce common worship materials. The ILCW did not act independently, but was responsible either to the respective commissions on worship or review committees of the parent churches. And numerous reports to the parent church bodies were also made during each calendar year. Perhaps it should be added that the ILCW was not meant to be a permanent organization, for in the final analysis, it really is to be dissolved after the issuance of the final project. Also, we could add that through the generosity of one of the Lutheran insurance companies, a full-time project director was engaged. And he is housed under the umbrella of the Lutheran Council in the USA.
Well, thank you for that brief historical background. We certainly appreciate that. What were some of the considerations which went into the selection of those liturgical materials in this new hymnal?
When one looks back, I think one has to say that first and foremost, there was the concern on the part of the ILCW that the liturgical materials be scriptural in content, reflecting the theology of the Lutheran symbols. If, as one church divine has stated, the liturgy is our theology prayed and sung, and I thoroughly subscribe to this, then certainly the liturgy must reflect sound scriptural theology. Because of this, the historic liturgical churches have insisted that in the preparation of their liturgies and hymnals, the churchmen and scholars entrusted with this task have studied and weighed every sentence, considered the finest points of capitalization and punctuation to secure not only all possible literary grace, but above all, a clear and consistent expression of doctrinal truth as well. Now, in very close conjunction with the foregoing, is the consideration also that the liturgy reflect the mind of Lutheranism. There is high interest today in matters concerning corporate worship. The rising flood of materialism, godlessness, and brutality threatens all moral and spiritual values. On the other hand, this flood apparently has increased the longing of Christians for spiritual reality in the house of God. Christians are seeking a solid anchor to hold their ship of life with its uncertainties in this world of turmoil and unrest. Thank God, they are increasingly realizing and believing that it is only in the gospel of Jesus Christ that they will find purpose and meaning in this life and eternal salvation in the next. They realize that no matter what other activities the church may engage in, public worship is essential to its life and mission. It is God's way, namely through word and sacraments, of dealing with us. Therefore, liturgical revision must be integrated into the total mission and life of God's people. We dare not simply succumb to liturgical revision for its own sake. Liturgy isn't just for those who like that sort of thing. No, the liturgy is there because we need corporate expression of our identity in the gospel. First, God comes to us in Jesus Christ in word and sacraments. In faith, we obediently and joyously respond in remembrance and proclamation, in petition and thanksgiving, in offering and singing. There is another point with regard to the selection of the liturgical materials. And that is one of contemporary language. The numerous translations of the Bible during the past decade give ample witness to the fact that Christians today strongly desire modern, idiomatic, and easily readable and intelligible language. cognizant of this, the traditional these and thous, the antiquated verb forms connected therewith, have been eliminated. No discussion of the liturgical materials should omit reference to what are called the ICET, I-C-E-T, texts. For the past 10 years, a group of scholars made up of representatives of the English-speaking churches has been meeting in England to work out present-day language for some of the ancient prayers, canticles, and liturgical texts. This group is called the International Consultation on English Texts, hence the abbreviation ICET texts. The results of this work have been adopted by the Roman Catholic, Methodist, Anglican, Presbyterian, and Baptist churches. It is expected that eventually all English-speaking churches will use ICET texts, even as we have all shared the same wording of the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Now, the ILC decided to use these texts, however, with two exceptions. First of all, in the Apostles' Creed, instead of the ICET reading, which is, "He descended to the dead," our present statement with which we are familiar, "He descended into hell," will be retained. Secondly, the Lord's Prayer is to be included in both readings, the ICET text and the traditional text with which we are so well acquainted. Save us in the time of trial is the ICET form, see? Mm-hmm.
Rather than lead us not into temptation.
Right. Rather than lead us not into temptation. I will say also with regard to the liturgical texts that in the proposed Luther Book of Worship, options to afford congregations variety without disturbing the basic form of the worship service are very frequent. To avoid confusing the worshipers, these options are immediately apparent by being boxed in red.
All right, thank you for that answer. Now we'll turn our attention to a consideration which is a real consideration in the hearts of many of our lay people because of having spent years with our present hymnal. I guess it came out in 1941, didn't it? They have grown
yes.
to love and to appreciate and take to their hearts those hymns which it contains. And so this next question asks, how were the hymns chosen for the new hymnal? And I suppose we could add at the same time a second question or corollary, by what process was it decided which hymns to leave out, to omit?
Yes. How were the hymns chosen? It was the concern of the Hymn Text Committee that those hymns be included which adequately support the worship of the church and the sound scriptural theological requirements of such worship. For instance, in exemplifying the Christian year, the life of the church centering in word and sacraments, the life of the Christian in this world, namely faith, justification, sanctification, prayer, special occasions, and so forth. Also, the Christian's responsibility to his fellowmen, whether Christian or non-Christian. The individual hymn texts were generally examined according to four criteria. First of all, scripturalness. I know that the question was frequently asked by the Hymn Text Committee, does this particular hymn forthrightly express or reflect the great truths of God in Jesus Christ? Or is it vague and evanescent? The supreme being idea, the we're all headed for the same place concepts, had to be naturally avoided. The Christian hymn must first of all properly distinguish law and gospel. Another point here with regard to the texts, liturgical propriety. Because the hymn is such an important vehicle in public worship, it must be decent, edifying, and orderly. The hymn is not primarily to instruct, but especially to awaken feelings of devotion and reverence. Hence, vulgar, trivial, Chuckle-provoking hymns have no place in a Christian hymnal. Neither over-sugary, sweet, sentimental hymns. Then there is that point in the selection of hymn texts which has reference to poetic beauty. The hymn should appeal to the imagination and emotions. The good poet passes great truths through his imagination process. There ensues some picturesqueness and imagery. And finally, we might say that the hymn texts were examined also from the standpoint of their universal Christian character. The Christian hymn, as you know, is the product of the Church Universal. One of the effective bonds between Christians today is found in the hymns, which are common to the peoples of varying faiths and creeds, for time has proven them true to the general feelings and experiences of all Christians. Thus, similar to the makeup of our present, the Lutheran hymnal, of the 500-plus hymn text writers represented in the Lutheran Book of Worship, many, many different religious affiliations are represented. You asked the questions, by what process was it decided which hymns to omit?
Yes,
right. Let's talk for a moment about that.
All right.
Criticisms against the work of the ILCW and its hymn committees have frequently assumed that the ILCW had a list of hymns scheduled for actual elimination.
Yes.
At one time, the list of such hymns supposedly exceeded 400 hymns to be eliminated from our present, the Lutheran hymnal. And to this I must state that at no time was I cognizant that the hymn committees operated from a negative principle of what to eliminate from present usage. The goal was always, what can we include that will be useful and edifying for Lutherans in their worship? And if you compare the hymns in the Lutheran Book of Worship with the 660-some hymns in the Lutheran hymnal, I should say that 363 are included in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Furthermore, 56 of the 93 hymns contained in our worship supplement are included. But there were some other considerations also. First of all, texts which were common to both the Lutheran hymnal and the service book and hymnal were examined with the original intent of producing a core hymnal, simply having a solid body of hymns then, which would be the core, then possibly make the LCA or the LCA or the ALC, they could add to that core. But the three bodies would have a core plus their favorite hymns. But with the issuance of the new three-year lectionary, the demand arose to increase the number of hymns to approximately 400, and the core idea was abandoned. There ensued criticism that so many favorite hymns were not included, which is quite natural. Then there followed the hymn usage survey with approximately 2,000 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the American Lutheran Church, and the Lutheran Church in America participating. Hymns which were used once in the preceding 2 years by 50% or more of the congregations were then automatically added to this list. So someone might ask, why isn't this favorite hymn of mine in this book? And the reason for it may be simply that in this test to which I just alluded, that hymn was not used by 50% or more of the congregations in the preceding 2 years. Or at least it was not used once.
Well, we thank you, Dr. Precht, for giving us that additional information. I was unaware of that, and I'm sure many of our listeners were also unaware. This would, yes.
I might add another point to this.
All right.
Namely, in this corpus of hymns, many requests came in, and many also from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, requests that some gospel songs and spirituals be included.
Yes.
And other quarters requested some contemporary hymns. But amid all this, the hymn text committee sought balance in the overall hymnic corpus. You couldn't weight down one section with so many and maybe another section with so few. You had to find some balance. And the foregoing then factors finally resulted in bringing the number of hymns to approximately 530 in this book. With regard to the hymn tunes, what are considered to be the better tunes were selected to be sung to respective hymn texts.
Will it have some alternate tunes as our present hymnal?
Yes, it will have a number of alternate tunes as our present hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we rather anticipated some of the points of the answer to the next question. But the question was with regard to some of those issues which have been raised both for and against this proposed new hymnal. What would you want to comment on that?
Yes, we might. Well, perhaps we should spend a few moments on some of the pros regarding this Lutheran book of worship. I would have to say that as a result of extensive testing and input from the field, this book possibly represents somewhat of a consensus among Lutherans in America. There are numerous options also afforded from which pastors and congregations may make selections. And I personally like to look upon this product as perhaps a good source book rather than perhaps a rule. Also, this joint effort afforded the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod good opportunity to make a distinctly positive contribution to the hymnic resources of the other participating church bodies. For instance, in this book, there are many more chorales, many more hymns which we might call coming directly from our Lutheran heritage than those contained in the service book and hymnal. Also, I firmly believe that good, solid musicianship is reflected in the selection of the hymn tunes and also in the harmonizations of these hymn tunes. And perhaps we should also add that this book is substantially a new product, not simply a revision of our present hymnal. And by that I mean to say that when we take a look at the church here and the amplification of it, the lectionary, the greater amplification of the use of Holy Scriptures in the services through the use of the lectionary, I come to the conclusion that it is more of a new product rather than simply a revision of the service book and hymnal and the Lutheran hymnal.
All right. Now, what about some of those issues that have been raised against the proposed hymnal?
Unfortunately, not every favorite hymn of every Lutheran is included. This was simply an impossibility. And I would also have to say that, granted that in the production of any Christian hymnal, not all the hymns included are of the same high caliber, textually or musically. For instance, as I mentioned previously, popular demand prompted the inclusion of some gospel hymns. I'm thinking of one, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way." Also some Negro spirituals, with which, of course, we have not been accustomed, especially in our worship situation. For instance, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" Another, "Let Us Break Bread Together on Our Knees." And also the familiar, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Then we might also say that certainly objections have been raised, for instance, to the optional use of placing the words of institution within the framework of a prayer, what might be called a prayer of thanksgiving. And there are many pros and cons, whether the words of institution can be embedded in a prayer form or whether they must stand by themselves. And there have been objections, for instance, to the optional use of bringing the bread and wine to the altar together with gifts of money. And we do present our gifts as a sacrificial part of the worship. And so the commission felt, too, that in line with the custom of the early church, the optional use of bringing the bread and wine to the altar could also be pursued. Then also there are some objections, say, for instance, that hymns referring to the blood of Christ have been played down. These objections came largely before the complete list of hymns was issued. For I know that at least 8 hymns specifically referring to the blood of Christ are included in this hymnal. Likewise, objections have been raised that hymns reflecting the third use of the law were omitted. And when we examine the hymnic corpus, we note that there are at least 2 of those hymns in this Lutheran Book of Worship. Then, of course, objections have been raised that the ILCW tampered with the Apostles and Nicene Creed. And here we've mentioned the matter of the ICED texts,
right,
and particularly the instances where the ICED texts will not be employed.
Yes.
Where we'll go on our own.
I see we have about a minute left for maybe a bit of comment on the proposed resolutions in our workbook for the convention related to this hymnal. And I wonder if you would touch specifically on those. And I think some do reflect the sincere apprehension. There might be some deep theological issues here.
About 50 resolutions recommend that the Synod discontinue participation in this joint project, implying or expressly stating that the Synod produce its own hymnal. I think underlying the resolutions in this category, and sometimes explicitly stated, is the objection to the joint publication of a book of worship or hymnal with Lutherans with whom the Synod is not in altar and pulpit fellowship. And granted that the fellowship aspect has changed considerably since the ILCW was organized 10 years ago, there are Lutheran bodies using our present hymnal with whom, of course, the Synod is not in fellowship. On the other hand, I must admit that this matter of fellowship is a broad and far-reaching matter, a matter which certainly is the prerogative of the Synod to decide. Secondly, I notice approximately 36 resolutions asking the Synod to study and test the hymnal, approving it at a later date. And perhaps there is validity to these resolutions, namely that too many pastors and congregations have not had occasion thoroughly to study the proposed contents, hence plead for more time before the Synod finally approves the product. But I must say that the Synod's Commission on Worship has attempted its utmost to disseminate the proposed contents of this book of worship so that pastors and laymen might become acquainted with its contents. Regrettably, however, fiscal restrictions upon the ILCW and upon the Synod's own commission on worship prevented mass distribution free of charge. Trial texts were published, but had to be, in many instances, purchased. Also, in these days of inflation, the cost of printing and distributing to all congregations the full texts and musical settings of the hymns and liturgies, as so many resolutions suggest, that cost is staggering. But the end result may warrant the cost. I firmly believe, however, that the ALC and LCA will publish the book on schedule, even if the Synod votes to delay publication. This, of course, will create additional financial problems, especially, of course, for our own Concordia Publishing House. Then finally, the third type of resolutions, approximately 15 resolutions call for approving the publication of the Lutheran Book of Worship at this time. Possibly these resolutions appear to reflect the some 260 responses received by the Commission on Worship after sending every pastor in the Synod a copy of the draft of liturgical texts for study and criticism. Approximately 85% of these returns considered liturgical materials accepted.
Thank you, Dr. Precht. In the matter of this proposed new Lutheran hymnal, as in all other matters, we pray for God's blessing in our convention's decision.